We're up to the pasuk of Pesach Es Yadecho. Before we start explaining this pasuk, it says in Halacha that if one doesn't have kavana by the pasuk of Pesach Es Yadecho, he has to repeat the pasuk. If one had finished Asherah already, the Levush says one has to say over from Pesach Es Yadecho to the end of Asherah because it needs to be said in order. Others disagree, but clearly this pasuk he has to say over. Reb Chaim Berlin said in his drashas that one shouldn't think that one only has to have kavana by the pasuk of Pesach Es Yadecho. But we're coming to tell you with this chazal, we're coming to tell you something else. The Halacha is coming to tell you, Shulchan Aruch is coming to tell you something else. There are many psukim in Asherah that have Hashem's name in it. And for sure, when a person says Hashem's name, he has to have kavanah, so he shouldn't be mighty Shem Shemayim Levatalo. A person shouldn't, chas v'shalom, say Hashem's name without the proper kavanah. As we mentioned in the beginning, the Tefillah Shir, and the Chayadim, the Godel Isser, of saying Shem Shemayim without the proper kavanah. But, says Reb Chaim Berlin, the Shulchan Aruch is telling you, if somebody says a pasuk with Shem Hashem in it without kavanah, over here, there's no way to fix it up because the avera was done already. The pasuk of Pesach Es Yadecho doesn't have Hashem's name in it. So over here, if a person's missing kavanah, there's a way to fix it up by re-saying that pasuk and nothing was lost. He didn't miss anything. But she ain't getting a pasuk that has Hashem's name in it, like many of the pasukim of Asherah. Over there, if a person says it without kavanah, not only didn't have kavanah, but he was over in Isser. I'm saying the Shem Shemayim without the proper kavanah, and that can't be fixed. Now we say in this pasuk, Pesach Es Yadecho, the Hashem opens up His hand, umazbia, and He gives sustenance to Chol Chai Rotzin, to all living, everything living. So before we get to the perish, specifically this pasuk, but we said before, the reason one has to repeat this pasuk, if he said it without kavanah, is because the Gemara tells us that the mile of Asherah is two miles. Number one that has Aleph Beis, and number two that has the mile of the pasuk of Pesach Es Yadecho. Now one could ask the Chayra, that why do we have to come out to the pasuk of Pesach Es Yadecho? Seemingly, the pasuk beforehand of Ein Lichol Elecha Yisaberu, V'ata Neisal Mesachon Be'itai, everybody's eyes are focused on Hashem. And Hashem gives them their food in the proper time. Over there also we see that Hashem gives sustenance to everybody living. What is added more in the pasuk of Pesach Es Yadecho? That it's dafka because the pasuk of Pesach Es Yadecho that the Asherah has its chashivas of kolayim atilu l'davik gim pam b'choyayim of the Hashem b'ed olam haba. What is significant in this pasuk that's not seen in the pasuk of Ein Lichol Elecha? What's added through this pasuk that because of this he's a b'ed olam haba? I saw in a few different achronim, different pshatim in this. But there's one common problem with all the pshatim. Because the Gemara, they want to tell us, Milas, the Pesach Es Yadecho has, that it means Ruchni is also, that Hashem gives everybody, like the Mefarshim say, L'chol Chai Rotzen, what he wants. So if a person wants Ruchni, the Al Shechazah says Hashem gives him Ruchni. Because that's the only thing a person can come really full with. Because it's enough for him, but in Taivis, Eina Demetz Chatzit HaVasi Biyadoi. So based on this, the Achronim say with different knaches the mal of this pasuk. But the problem is that the Gemara asks, if the mal is Pesach Es Yadecho, you could have said Hal HaGadol. That says in it, Noisam Lechem L'chol Basar Kila Alam Chazdoi. So seemingly, whatever mal Pesach Es Yadecho has, that Ein Lichol Elecha does not have, has to be found in the pasuk of Noisam Lechem L'chol Basar. Because the Gemara says it would be enough to say Leis Alechem Chol Bazer, if not the fact that we also wanted the Ma'al of Aleph Beis. So I think to Miyasha this question, there are two Mahalchim. What the Ma'al of Pesach Es Yadecho is over the Pasuk of Leis Alechem Chol Bazer, Leis Alechem Ochel and Be'itoy. The first Mahalch is based on the Goyim, that the Goyim says that Rashi over there, when he says, when the Gemara says Pesach Es Yadecho, Rashi adds, Mizbil Chol Chai. So the Goyim says, why did Rashi insist on adding those words of Mizbil Chol Chai? So the Gaon explains, because it was bothering Rashi a question, that there's a different pasuk in Tehillim, the pasuk of Teref Ras on the Yireyev, which also comes in a capital that's based on Aleph Beis. So the Chayra, that capital should also have the Ma'al of Aleph Beis and Parnasa. So if that's the case, why do we say Davka Ashrei that has an Aleph Beis and Pesach HaSedecho? Let's say that pasuk has Aleph Beis and the pasuk of Teref Ras on the Yireyev. And that Rashi answers, because Pesach HaSedecho says L'chol Chai. That pasuk says L'Yireyev, only to the Yorei Shemayim. But this pasuk says L'chol Chai, to every living human being. So if Hashem gives the Chol Chai, that's more, and that's why we have to say this pasuk. I was thinking that could be an answer why we don't say the pasuk of Eimei Chol Alecha Yisaberu. Rashi could be answering this as well. Because we said over from the Al-Sheikh, that the Al-Sheikh said, Seimech Hashem L'chol HaNoifim, and Hashem Seimech all the Noifim. So one could have a kasha. How could it be that Hashem Seimech the Noifim? We see many Noifim that fall, and Hashem's not Seimech them in our eyes. It looks like that. And we answer that with the next pasuk, Eimei Chol Alecha Yisaberu. Not that every Zinayim are focused on Hashem, because we see many people that are not Elecha Yisaberu. They don't look at Hashem for their hope. But what it means is, which Noiflim is Hashem Seimech, says the Al-Sheikh. The Noiflim that are Eimei Chol Alecha Yisaberu. So if that's the case, the Adonaisam is Ochem Behito is going back on those people. The people that are Elecha Yisaberu, the people that are looking and they're gazed at Hashem, they're focused on Hashem, that their salvation should come from Hashem, those people Hashem is Naisam Lassam Ochem Behito. But that's not everybody. Therefore, we come along and say after that, a pasuk with the Ma'al of Pesach and Sedecho, open up your hand, umazbiya and sustain the Chol Chai. Everybody, not only those that look to Hashem. Another answer to this question could be that the first pasuk says, "Atanesam es achlam beitay." So we already said from the Mefarshim, "Achlam" means the exact amount that they need at the times they need, even if it's not enough. The second pasuk says, "Pesach haSedecho umasbiah." Hashem gives with the shefa enough that they should be satisfied. L'chol chai rotzim. And the pasuk of Teref not the pasuk of nice and lechem mechavat sor kilolam chazdoi also has this milo, because lechem resembles lechem l'sayva. Lechem is what's eaten to be filled. The Yavit says, that's why we say Pashachris doesn't refer to dafka bread, but anything that's filling. Because something that's filling is referred to in Chazal and the Navi as Lechem or Pas. And therefore, the Pasuk of Nois and Lechem Mechabas and the Pasuk of Pesach and Sedecho Masbiya, they refer to the broch that Hashem gives, that people don't only eat, but they are filled. Mashenk in the Pasuk of Atan Nois and Masachem Be'itah is just the amount that a person needs to get by on, as we said last week, from the Chayvul Savavis. That Hashem gives a person that the exact time, the exact amount he needs, that should last until the next time, when a person doesn't have enough. So therefore, we say, Dafka the Pasuk, these Psukim of Pesach, Zedekah, that tell us Hashem gives an amount to satisfy people in abundance. And Victor Miller points out that this is one of the great needs that the human population keeps on growing. One would think that for sure, by now we should have shortages of food. But Hashem, through all the Darius, is Pesach HaSedech U'mazbiah. Hashem gives enough. Not only that everybody should have, but there should be B'shafa. There should be a lot. Everybody should be able to be satisfied. L'chol Chai Rotzen. These are two possibilities in this mile of this pasuk over the first pasuk of Eimei Chol Alecha Yisaberu. Now, to get to the next explanation of this pasuk, we say Pesach HaSedech U'mazbiah. Hashem opens up His hand, U'mazbiah, and He sustains and satisfies. So what does it mean, Masbiya? The Gaon says, this is a new bracha of Oichen Kimmel and Nisbarach B'meyov. That a person eats a little bit, and Nisbarach B'meyov, that's the Masbiya. That he didn't eat so much, they only ate a little bit, and still he's filled with it. Others say that umazbiya l'chol chai rotzim, the tzlach, that the bracha is, I think the Miller's masber barichos, this concept, what it was being, was Bialachal Chayrotzin, that Hashem could have given us food, but the food didn't have a taste. The food was tasteless. We don't enjoy it. Hashem gave us a bracha that we enjoy the food. It tastes good. And therefore we should have a cheshek to eat. Not only says that the Melech that Hashem make it easy for us to eat by giving us all different types of teeth to help us chew the food, to eat it good, which is just the proper whole complex digestive system, so we should enjoy it, so we should be able to eat it good. But Hashem did more from us. Hashem could have just given us bland food and we could eat the same thing day in, day out, without any taste, just something that has in it enough to nourish and sustain our body. But Hashem gave us an extra bracha. He gave us tasty food. And that's what we say in Masbiyah L'chol Chai Rotzin, that He gives us, He satisfies us with things that we want, that are tasteful. Taisis and Brachas, the Flamed Zayin has a similar concept in the bracha of Baruch Nefashis Rabbis. That Taisis says, Kol Ma'at Shavarosu L'Achis B'Nefesh Kol Choy, that we're taking Hashem HaKol Ma'at Shavarosu, anything in the world, Shagavim Leibar, even Hashem didn't create him, Yechol Ma'at L'Achis B'Lehim, the world couldn't be without him. Shloi Bar came a tiny ba'alma. Hashem only created it for people's enjoyments. Kamei tapuchim mechiyotze b'hem, apples and similar things that we don't need them to live on. Maybe bread and meat we need to live on, but even that didn't have to be tasty. Hashem did us a wonderful atava and He made food tasty for us that we should all enjoy the food that we eat. And that's added pesach and setechu masbia l'chol chayrotzei. That Hashem didn't only just give us food to eat, but He actually gave us food that we could enjoy. Now, what does this word ratzin mean? So, either ratzin means the enjoyment of the food, as we said. Others say l'chol chai ratzin means anything. Rav Shmuel Shavuot says anything that they're missing in life, Hashem gives them, not just food. Rav Shimon Shwab brings that by Shever Brachas, one of the Hashanim said a different pshat. That Ratzin means the goodwill. Because a person can be a master craftsman, if he's not Urvim Abrius, and he's not Matzechem Beinei Abrius, there's goodwill, then he won't have Parnasa. We find many people that were master craftsmen, but they couldn't sell their own products. Only after they were nifted, their products sold, their paintings, their art sold for a lot of money. But they themselves couldn't do it themselves, because they didn't have this Ratzin. A person can be a computer genius, but he's not, he doesn't have good interrelationships, interpersonal relationships with people, he can't have a parnasa. Because he can't get along with people, he can't work with people. So that's what we say, that Hashem gives them the rots and the goodwill that they should be able to work with other people, and people should do business with them, and through this they can sustain themselves. The Siach Yitzchak says, rots means Hashem gives a person kefi what he wants, kefi his rots and his taivo. This that a person seeks and he desires, that's what Hashem gives him. Now, Mrs. Zalman used to say that sometimes you find there's two people in Kail, they learn the same smart, they put in the same amount of hours in a smada, the same amount of haravanya, and they're equal peers learning their whole life. Then one of them gets a shteller and all of a sudden he's saying shurim, much better tire than the other person had. Much better than he was able to say beforehand. When you see a rebbe, sometimes you have a chash of a rebbe, and sometimes you have a rebbe that just came rebbe because his father was a rebbe, and he's really not such a chash of a person, and still his brachas are being mekuyim. So what's pshat in that? Mr. Zalman said the same way Hashem worries for the tailor, for the shoemaker, that people should need shoes or people should need clothes, and they should be able to sew properly or make shoes properly, and people's shoes should get worn out, so they should need it. So too Hashem worries for the Shivas and for the Rebbes, and He makes them be able to say Shurim, that should be in a scalpel, in order that they should have Parnasa. He makes them be able to give off Brachas, that should be Mekuyim, in order that they should have Parnasa. I was thinking with this, we could explain the Tana B'Elyo, and El Yozut Perek Yudalit, that I was bothered with for many years. The El Yozut Navi says over there that one time he was going, from place to place, and he found the person. He didn't have any mikra mishnah, and he was making the tzanis. So Yom Navi told him, "What are you going to answer?" So he told back, tell Yohanavi, Rabbi, Eshki Dvorm Shani Meshivoi, I have a good answer to Hashem. Bina Vedasai Noslam in Hashemayim. They didn't give me any knowledge from Shemayim, any logic, any knowledge, any wisdom, therefore I can't figure it out. Sha'ekra, that was here, I should be able to learn Psukim Ve'eshra Shalom Mishnah. But Matil Yohanavi said to him, Bini Ma'amalach Techa, what's your business? What's your panasa? What do you do? V'amalach, he told him, Tzairani, I'm a trapper. So Yohanavi told him, who taught you how to make the traps from flax, to spin it properly, to make nets? And who told you at what angles to put it in the ocean, and where in the ocean to put it, and how to lift it up, that the dog shouldn't fall out from the ocean? So he told back to Yohanavi, B'zeh Nosmali Bina V'deyam in Hashemayim. For this, B'zeh Nosmali Bina V'deyam in Hashemayim. For this, they gave me Bina V'deyam in Hashemayim. For sure, for that they gave you binah min hashemayim. So for years it always bothered me. What was going on? Was this person fooling himself? Was he lying? Was he tricking himself? It doesn't sound like that. And also, what did he tell him? For this, they gave me bina v'deyam in Hashemayim. Just say, I don't have that much bina v'deyam. So I think this is how we can explain this to Elio Zuto. That what this person was telling Elio Anavi was, I'm taka dumbbell. I don't have the mental capabilities to excel in any type of chachma. If I would go now and I would try to open up a science book, biology, chemistry, mathematics, I wouldn't be able to stand one word, I would get straight zeros. When I'm telling you that I can't learn Torah is not a shaker. I have no das. But he realized in the art of fishing, in the craft of fishing, he was zoricha b'zeh bina nitnulu min hashamayim. He realized that he was able to comprehend things that he couldn't comprehend in any other place in life. That he was able to understand over here more than he was able to understand anywhere else. And he said that he realized it was a special siyata the shamayim that Hashem gave him to make his parnasa. That's why he said b'zeh bina nitnulu min hashamayim. He realized that he had a siyata the shamayim of extra das, more in how to become a master fisherman, more than the das of his mental capabilities, and it had been any other field that he didn't need for his parnasa. It wasn't fishing. He couldn't figure out the same type of things because he didn't have das for that. That's what he told Elio Hanavi. And therefore, for Torah, you have no right just because I'm a master fisherman that I can learn Torah. So Elio Hanavi told him back, oh, hear me. That if they gave you das and shemayim to be for your parnasa, kol shekem and kol shekem, they'll give you das and shemayim, even somebody that doesn't have the mental capabilities to be a great se'ilui, to be a great talmid chacham, and he couldn't figure out any other logics. But if a person applies himself to Tyro, they'll give him bina v'deyam and shemayim, because the pasuk says b'fichol v'olchal, that's how he says, and I've talked that everybody that applies himself is able to learn Tyro. And therefore, even if a person doesn't have he's not smart enough, he doesn't have wisdom, Hashem will give him bina v'deyam in Hashemayim if he applies himself to Torah to be able to learn it. The next pasuk we have is the pasuk of Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachov. Hashem is a tzadik in all his ways, v'chosid b'chol ma'asov, and he's a chosid in all his doings. So Mepharshim explained that ma'asov is the fnim mishur sedin. The chosid is the fnim mishur sedin. The Degain says the derachim of Hashem are tzadik. The meaning is the Torah has oinchim in it. But at the end of the day, says the Gaon, Hashem is mischasidim with us, lefnim mishur sadin. That's what we say, the drachim, the ways of Hashem, the tzedek, yisham da'ki Hashem, the ways of Hashem are tzedek. But Hashem goes in with us, lefnim mishur sadin, and that's the chos of Echol Ma'is, of the actions of Hashem, go lefnim mishur sadin. Now, Sheikh Yitzchak explains that this pasuk goes back on the pasuk beforehand, and it tells a person an answer to two questions he might have. How can we say Hashem gives everybody Pesach and Sedach? Hashem opens up his hands and he feeds everybody. We see that now some people get a Tzimtzum and some people get Baravkos, and Hashem just opens up his hands and feeds everybody B'Shefa. Why are people different? And on that we say that there's two answers. There's one answer of Tzadik Hashem B'chol Drachov, and there's one answer of Echosu B'chol Ma'asov. So the answer of Tzadik Hashem B'chol Drachov, Billy the Rekech says already, that is, the answer to that is, that Hashem knows what He's doing, and He knows what's good for people and what's bad for people. The Chofetz Chaim explains this with a mashal. There's once a father, a big veer, wealthy person, that had an only son. And his son one time got a rare disease, and he took him to all the doctors to try to find a refuah for him, and they couldn't find a refuah. Until finally they met with one big professor in some university that was able to find a refuah for his son. And he told him, the problem with your son is that his immune system can't handle many different types of foods, many different types of things that are in the foods. And he has to have a very strict diet. He can't have any meat, no cheese. He can only have whole grains. And again, a rigid diet that his son has to keep if he wants to stay healthy. So the father followed the diet and he gave it to the son. And he saw as he followed the diet, he got better. And the father was very on top of the son. 3 meals a day, he should only eat what's on the diet and nothing else. One day the father had to travel out of town for business. So he calls the chief butler in his house and he says, I'm going to be away for the next week. Do me a favor, my son. This is the diet from the doctor. Make sure he sticks to the diet. Don't give him anything else. Give him the exact amounts he needs at every meal. The exact foods he gets. And don't switch an iota. This is exactly what he has to get. So the butler comes the first day. He serves the son what the father told him to give. And the son eats it. And the son starts asking him the second and third day. He starts begging on him, on his heart. Look, I'm healthy, I'm better already. What will be so bad if I have one little piece of meat? If I'll have a little bit of cheese? I'll have one little sweet? Just a little bit you can give me. What's it going to do already? Just let me have a little bit. And sure enough, by every meal, the butler let him have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Feeling bad for him that he was a teenager and he wanted it so much and he couldn't have it, seeing that he was healthy. So he figured it's not going to hurt, and he cheated with him a little bit here, a little bit there, and he let him have these objects, these food items. When the father came back, he saw his son's not totally back to himself. And he was sick, and he started getting sicker and sicker. And he was even sicker than the first time, so they called back the professor, and they asked him what's going on. So the professor asked the father, did you stick to my diet? So the father says, yeah, of course I stuck to the diet. I watched him very carefully. Every single day, I fed him 3 meals a day till a week ago when I went out of town. And the professor asked him, what happened this last week when you went out of town? So he said, I put my butler in charge that he should do it properly. So they called him the butler, and they asked him what's going on. Did he stick to the diet? And the butler was mighty, admitted that he taco felt bad for the boy. He had some rachmanis on him, and he gave him some foods that he shouldn't have had. So the professor said, that's why your son got sick again. Because when it comes back much worse because the immune system is not used to fighting it and it came back much stronger. Therefore, if you want it to get better, you have to be extra careful to make sure that he sticks to this diet specifically and he doesn't break it ever again. Because if it comes back another time, who knows if you'll be ever able to heal him again. So the father puts him back on his diet again, very strictly. He's very careful with him and he makes sure that he never cheats. And from then on, he didn't trust the butler anymore. Whenever he went out of town, he took his son with him in all his travels. Comes one day, and he's making a ball. For whatever reason, he's making a party and invited all his business associates. And he gave a command. He hired special bouncers to make sure that his son does not step foot into the hall where he's making the party because he didn't want his son to eat it. So some of his business associates come from faraway places, near and far, they come and they see that his one and only son is not there and they're wondering why he's not there. They think maybe he's away studying, maybe he's on business, maybe he's not well, he's not able to come. Who knows? No one's asking anything. Then they see there's a commotion in the middle, they see there's a commotion at the door that somebody's trying to push in and the bouncers are pushing him out. And they look from far and they see it's the son of the Balabas, the son of this Gvir. This Gvir is not letting his son in, they're throwing him out and they're trying to figure out what type of father doesn't allow his only son into the party like this. Not only that, they see the father jumping off the dais and running to the door, screaming and shouting, don't let him in, keep him out of here, he may not enter, don't let him eat anything. And they think, what type of mean father is this, that he won't let his son have anything, and the son's fighting to get in and he doesn't let him in. But what they don't realize is that what the father is doing is for the ultimate good of his son, because he wants his son to be healthy, he wants his son to live, and therefore he has to be mean to him. It's tough love that he's giving him. He's doing what's for his best through love, even though it's tough for the father, even tougher than it is for the son. So too says the Chafetz Chaim, this is the answer of Tzadik Hashem B'chol Drachav. Hashem knows what's for our ultimate good. Many times we did Averis and we needed Yisur B'lam Hazet to fix it up. Or sometimes there's Aisha Shamal the Bolav of the Rosh. Sometimes it's bad for people to get too much in this world because then they'll use it. Be'ishman Yishurni Be'yabit. They'll use too much good to throw off Hagdol Malchus Shemayim. And therefore Hashem doesn't give it to them. And that's why we say Tzadik Hashem B'chol Drachav. Hashem is Tzadik in all his ways and he knows who to give it to and who not. Who for whatever reasons can't get it. And then we say it's the second answer of a chosid b'chol ma'asov. That Hashem is a chosid in all his ways. The Sheikh Yitzchak explains this also with a mashal. And he says that there was once a person, a group of travelers that was traveling. They took a hike together. And in the middle of the hike, it came out on them a sudden snowstorm. And they got covered, they got stuck in 2 feet of snow. And they're stuck there for a few days. They ran out of provisions. And they were freezing cold. They were afraid. They were trying to figure out if they were going to die from frost first or from starvation. And they gave up hope on living. Then all of a sudden in the middle passes by a wealthy landlord that had an estate in the mountains that they were trapped in the snow. And it came by with 100 servants, 10 carriages on the way to his winter estate to go spend some time in enjoyment and relaxation. And from far out he sees them. One of the wagon drivers sees them and he tells the rich man and he says, yeah, we're going to go save this them. We're going to be good people. We're going to have rahmanis and then we're going to save them. So he pulls off his whole entourage with all their carriages and sleds and they go and they dig out these people and they bring them into the wagons. They give them dry clothing and he takes them to his winter estate, which isn't too far from there, where he has a big, beautiful palace. And he gives them food and drink. Then it comes at night, but the problem is there's not enough beds in the palace because there's not enough people. All these people came unexpected. So some of them he has in a master's bedroom suite that he gives them king-size beds, comfortable beds. Some of them he has to put it in the children's room. It's not such good beds. For some of them he can put the mattresses on the floor. And some of them he even has to put straw on the floor because he doesn't have enough mattresses for them. Are any of them going to complain? Says, let's say a Yitzchak, and any of them can complain, why are you giving him more than me? Of course not. The person that saved your life from, for sure, death, from freezing, and from starvation, and he saved you, and he took you in, and he gave you new clothing and new food. You're not going to complain about anything he does. Because he's the Isha Chesed, and you're not complaining that he did more to one person than to you. Says the Sheikh Yitzchak, that's what we're saying also. Because of B'chol Ma'asav, Hashem is the ultimate Maitiv. He made us be born, he gave us our health, he gave us food our entire life. We're so indebted to Hashem for the amount of chesed that he does, it's not even possible for us to ask a question, how come Hashem gave one person more than the other? Just like no one of them would even have the audacity to ask this kvir, why he gave one of them more than the other when he saved them. The Mefarshim explained that this v'chosu b'chol ma'asav is a proof, and the tzaddik Hashem b'chol derachav also. Because if one will doubt and say that maybe Hashem is not tzaddik in all his derachim, who says? And that we tell him, Chosin B'chol Ma'asav, see what type of Bachesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. At all times, we see how much Chesed Hashem is doing in this world. Hashem is the ultimate Maitiv. So, from the times that we know, the Roi of HaPa'amim, that we're able to see the Chesed Hashem, that should be a proof. And the Mir HaPa'amim that we don't see, we're not zechet to understand the reasons that Hashem are doing it, that Hashem is doing it because He has our ultimate good in mind, because Hashem is the ultimate Baal HaChesed.